So we're going to be in 2 Timothy, and we're going to be in the, I think it's the 3rd chapter. Let me turn there again, 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and chapter 3. And probably get through most of that 3rd chapter, and then probably end up going in next time we speak, because this will probably pretty much consume our time. The thing that I'm going to draw out the most is there seems to be times when the Lord spends time talking to and through human beings, and the Apostle Paul was certainly like that. And so as we talk about these things, if we look down in verse 8, it says there was a man by the name of Moses that they ended up, the Lord, he chose him. He was married, and he was born. His mother ended up having the boy, so the Lord had made Moses. Moses came into existence, but it was his mother and grandmother, the ones that really kind of led him through the scriptures. And so this makes the Apostle Paul unique in the same way that Moses was unique, in that the Lord would speak directly to him. And with Moses, he was going through a mediator, when Moses was later on, he was being spoken to by God and then telling the people without having to have another mediator. But that was important. It's important that we recognize it. That the Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel, and that he I think about the times we're living in now. It starts out going back to chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, and we do seem to be living in a time when there's more, the enemy is a seem to have more difficulty with the world and how it conducts itself and how it doesn't really want to listen and know the truth. Well, that's what at this point in time that the Apostle Paul came into existence and was given these epistles. He's living in those actual times or those days in which it is necessary for him. And he had 7 epistles that he wrote, prior to Acts 28:28, and then he had 7 more epistles that he wrote. And that's where we're at now in 2 Timothy, chapter 3. It's that, a later time when Paul has been given the responsibility to speak directly to other body members.
Lost Tony on the
me too. Don't know why.
So in chapter 2.
I told him on the text string. I don't know if he saw it or not yet.
I'm listening to him on Zoom, so go ahead.
He's here on Zoom.
I got
it. Oh, Tony is?
Yeah.
Oh, he is, yeah, you're right.
And that's why I'm on the phone using using his wife's phone.
He's doing Indian McDonald's. Nick Curry.
That's right. So we got enough gone. I think people
can just hear me.
Hear what I'm saying. So that's good. Okay, I'm going to continue.
Keep going. I've got it live, so you go ahead, Bob. I'll upload
okay.
The audio.
All right. Thank you, sir. We're talking about perilous times shall come, and I think the way we see the world right now, we see a lot of that happening with the whole world, where what used to be right is wrong, and what used to be wrong is what the world considers to be right. So it's very interesting that this time period that we're talking about was similar to what happened to Moses in the Old Testament. So going on in verse 2, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And all those things, the way the world looks at it, is that those things are okay to be that way for people to treat each other in a way that's not really godly or not the way the Lord would have us to do it. He says in verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And it seems like that more people don't want to hear what we have to say, and they'd rather believe or make up whatever they want to about what is true for today. So we are very, very fortunate that we as body members have been given this understanding of this truth, and that we can know and learn by reading Paul's epistles, especially his last 7, and finding out the truth and how the world was treating him, and how learning the scriptures through Paul, we are being treated very, very similar. It says that they are traitors, they are heady, they are high-minded, they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. So I see this as a religious thing that people do, but it's not what the Lord would have us to be obeying. He would really have us obeying what the Holy Spirit was speaking to and through the Apostle Paul. So he says that they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I find that to be true, that it's easier for me to talk about the things that God offers, but we also have Satan offering his false religion right along with it. So it makes it for the people that aren't really serious and haven't been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, they struggle with some of these truths, and don't necessarily believe that the Apostle Paul was being our apostle to the Gentiles, apostle to the other body members. It's a very unique position, and we're in a very privileged position to be able to know and understand these scriptures, and they really do speak right directly to our heart. And if we believe the Lord will continue to enlighten us and to open our understanding and give us the truth that we can live by and that we can help others with. So he said it was having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts or different desires that they see are being offered today. He goes on in verse 7 and says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we find that to be true sometimes, where we have people that can't really understand all that they'd like to be able to understand about the truth, but it's because of unbelief. It's because of their own unbelief or their own religion that they can't seem to grasp the truths that you and I can see very clearly. So he says in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also that resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And if you can remember, this Jannes and Jambres were working against Moses, and they were trying to put Moses down and not have the Israel follow what Moses was saying. But as Moses continued with the truth, others began to listen to him more and more, and they found out that he was a mediator, very, very similar to what the Lord Jesus Christ. But Moses was unique in that he was a mediator being used by God to be able to speak to the nation of Israel. In verse 9 it says that they shall proceed no further. In other words, the Lord allowed these Jannes and Jambres for a while to speak to Israel and to talk to them, but eventually he shut off that message of the truth to them, and they were not able to deceive the people as long as they listened and followed after what Moses had said. So it says, these do also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, that they shall proceed no further. And that's another thing that the Lord seems to be doing now. He seems to be opening up these truths more to those who want to believe the truth and want to know the truth. And as a result of that, they are being given a deeper understanding of what the truth is, what the truth is that the Apostle Paul, Mysterion, and the mystery of the one body. So he goes on to say, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. The ones that really want to know the truth, if they pray about it, God can and will reveal it to them. And when it says all men, it just means not just males, but it means other body members. They begin to see and know and are able to share the truth with others. He goes on to say, as theirs also was, but thou, it says, but thou has fully known my doctrine, that's the Apostle Paul's, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering. Remember, Paul was told he was going to suffer for the Lord's sake. So he was going to suffer some similar tests that the Lord Jesus Christ did. But it was all part of it. Paul was able to endure it, and it was because the Lord gave him the strength to be able to do it and the understanding to be able to share this truth with others. Very important time we're living in. He says charity, which is another way of saying love, patience, persecution, afflictions, many of the very same things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, Paul suffered in the same, very same manner. He goes on to say, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium. So these are the different cities that he went to, where he was either misunderstood, or that they didn't really want to believe or accept the truth coming directly from him. It goes on to say, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And I do think the Lord works with us in a very similar manner. Not exactly the same, of course. And we're not suffering in exactly the same way that the Lord did. But I do, or that Paul did. But at the same time, we were given a measure that I think is working out to our benefit to be able to go through some of these things and learn some of these things for ourselves as the Lord gives us opportunities to know more about Him and His mysteries and His secrets. He goes on to say, in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly. And I think this is a choice that we make, that we desire and want to live godly. And with God's help, we can do it. We've experienced it ourselves. We seem to have answered prayer more often. Occasionally, we get a no to prayer, but that doesn't mean that God wasn't answering the prayer. It just means He wasn't answering it in a way that we wanted Him to. But He actually reveals the truth to us in ways that actually help us and teach us lessons so that we can share His truths with others. He goes on to say, in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer prosecution. And then he also says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That was another time when we can think about what those people were doing with Moses, that they were being deceived, and they were also trying to deceive Moses so that he couldn't be understood. I'm just stating this fact so that you can know that this is not unusual, to the point this is the only time that this has ever happened. There have been times that this has happened. There's been other times where the Lord said no. So we should expect that to happen similarly. Not exactly, but in a similar way. Expect that we're going to maybe learn lessons the hard way sometimes so that we can further understand the deeper truths that the Apostle Paul had to endure. So he goes on to say in 13, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse. These men eventually did too. These men that were trying to put Moses down, that were trying to defeat him and not listen to him, these men begin to be able to not understand the truth that the Lord was teaching to and through Moses and the nation of Israel. He goes on to say, but continue thou in the things, and Paul is saying this to those, you know, to Timothy, but he's also saying it to others that he has had opportunities to share the truth with. And so I think that in and of itself made his sufferings a little more, well, gave him a little more understanding for one thing, but he also understood the Lord was going to continue to help and guide him in his instruction to others. So he says in 14, continue thou in all things which thou hast both learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And I find that to be true too. The longer we're doing this, the more we're studying the scriptures, and the more we're allowing the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, the more and more that we are assured that we're on the right track, that we're doing it the right way, that we don't have to fear that we're being led astray or deceived, but rather we're learning the truth through the scriptures and through the lessons the Apostle Paul was given to share with other body members. Verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." This is a unique position that not everybody has. Not everybody gets saved as a child. Some of us get learn as we get older, and we acknowledge Him. But I have learned, if we're serious and we want to know the truth, He will help us to understand it. That's what He wants to do. That's what He desires to do. And we make better saints whenever we follow His instructions and do things His way. Although sometimes they're not as popular, you know, as some of the directions that the world's going in. But we know that what Paul did was follow after the Lord, and that's what we should do, is follow after the Lord, and we should share the truth as has been given to us through Paul and through the Holy Spirit. So he says, when he's referring to a child, he's referring to Timothy, and but there is a lesson that we can learn from our parents, and we can learn from other brothers and sisters in Christ when we have a desire to want to listen to what they have to say and find out if those things are not true or not. And we found that they are. The truth is given to us in a way that makes us more comfortable. So he goes on to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that's where it's coming from. Coming from the Word of God, coming from others, and coming from the Holy Spirit and what He has to share with us. So he goes on, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So obviously if we learn these things from a child and from somebody who we look up to, that it does seem to help us. Our faith is strengthened and encouraged, and makes us want to study more and learn more and share more. So I do want to go back to Exodus. Let's see. Exodus, I think it was chapter 4 that I wanted to read. Just talking about what Moses went through. Chapter 4, it talks about it. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee." Why they couldn't see that, you know, Moses could certainly see it. He knew there was changes happening, but they couldn't. And of course, these were not those people that were, they were brethren, but they weren't the kind of brethren that were helping. They were actually hurting and harming and casting doubt. So he says in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground." See, that's something that that we don't experience. This similar thing, having a rod and cast it into the ground. We're not asked to do that. That's not instruction to us. But it was to Moses. He said to cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. In other words, he wanted to get away from that. He thought, this can't be right. He goes on to say, and the Lord said to Moses, foot forth into thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And verse 5 says, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he had took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. These things were really changing Moses' opinion of the Lord working with him and through him. He says in verse 7, and he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And so it was restored. The Lord restored it. And I think it's interesting how quickly these things happen. How the Lord is, you know, opening up Moses' eyes very soon. And it helps strengthen his belief. It says in verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And so this sign where he got the leprosy and then got that healed, that changed some of these Israelites, changed their belief and changed their opinion of whether Moses was real. It says in verse 9, it shall come to pass that they will not believe me also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. This is another sign. I think they required a sign, and I think God was giving them the sign to and through Moses, using Moses in that way. And so it was very, very effective. It says in verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. That was that area when we first started talking, where I said, when he said, I'm not eloquent, it meant he had somewhat of a speech impediment, or maybe he stuttered, or maybe it was just something that was very inconvenient, because he thought that he should be able to speak eloquently because he's speaking for the Lord. So he says, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, and I am slow of tongue. So that meant to me he could be like stuttering, or not talking as quickly or as powerfully as he wanted to. It says in verse 11, and the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Well, obviously he did. And, you know, Moses was able to do some of these things before, but now the Lord is causing him not to be able to see, not to be able to talk, not to be able to hear. Therefore, he was going to ask for some help. He was going to ask for Aaron, and the Levite, to be his helper. And then also Aaron's sister, that they were able to comfort and help him too. So there was that. And I think Paul is much more unique and says that he could do some miracles. But when he got over to the X-28 position, then those sign gifts like that went away. So he had them in the first six chapters or epistles, but he lost them when he started understanding more the last seven epistles that he wrote. Not uncommon, though, I think, to Paul, although Paul didn't have near the same amount of sign gifts because of the message. When the message changed, there was no longer sign gifts given, speaking in tongues and understanding tongues and those types of things. So he goes on in 13 and said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled. Because this is not the way the Lord wanted to do it. He wanted to be believed by what he said, by what God said. He says, but his anger was kindled against Moses. And he said, it is not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother. I know that he can speak well. And I also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. In other words, he's going to be your helper. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. So in other words, he was to go to Aaron and tell Aaron what the Lord wanted to be said. So Moses did that. So they actually come up with a mediator that was going to be helpful. So that was not unusual either, for something like that to happen. But we can see it happen, and we also can see when we don't believe what God says and believe it right away, it does upset the Lord. The anger may be something he needs to deal with in such a way that he can convince and change who is there, in this case Moses, and Aaron, whoever he's speaking to. So he goes on to say, in verse 17, and thou shalt take thy rod in thy hand, therefore thou shalt do signs. And Moses went, and if you remember that one time he took that rod, though, and he threw it down in such a way that it was taken the praise away from the Lord, but given it to the rod, given it to Moses, like Moses had a part in that, but that didn't please the Lord either. And so I think there's a lesson to be learned from us, is for us to give the Lord credit whenever he answers our prayers, and whenever he answers those prayers in a way that are beneficial. They may, cause loss, or it may add things, but that's up to the Lord. He answers the prayer, and he does it in his ways. He goes on to say, for he returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go, I pray thee, in returning to my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, go in peace. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all men are dead which sought thy life. And so he says, and Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. I think one lesson I learned from this is that sometimes people do reject what we say, but as far as the Lord's concerned, they're getting to hear what the Lord wanted to be said. And so sometimes they don't learn the lessons as quickly, but they do if they ask, you know, for guidance and instruction. They will hear and understand the prayers. So it goes on to say, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. That word firstborn doesn't mean you're born first. What it means is you have been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are one of his sons. His firstborn son, which again doesn't mean born first, but it means it's a position that you have that qualifies you to be able to work for the Lord and do things for him. Verse 23 says, I saw unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me, and thou refuse to let him go. Behold, I will slay thy son, even the firstborn. That's a pretty harsh lesson. But it also teaches motives to listen to what the Lord's saying. You know, he means exactly what he wants to have said, and he wants Moses to believe it and then share it with others. And I think that happens to us too, so we're not just to keep these truths to ourselves, but rather we're to share these truths with those who the Lord desires to. Well, it says that we've been chosen before the foundation. And so before we even came into existence, we were already chosen as the firstborn. And we were already going to be used in one way or another by the Lord when he needs us to. And so, again, we're getting almost all of this, these lessons about, from Moses, but we also get them and they're repeated, to the Apostle Paul. So he goes on to say in 27, the Lord said to Aaron, go to the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went, he met him in the Mount of God, and he kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and the signs which he had commanded him. In other words, he did do what the Lord asked him when he told him to repeat these things to these people back in Egypt. So it goes on to say in verse 29, Moses and Aaron went together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake unto the words which the Lord spake unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So that was as far as I wanted to read in that, but I thought that was important when we saw how Moses was treated, how he was speaking for the Lord, and how the Apostle Paul was on that same, not maybe doing exactly the same things, but they were both doing whatever the Lord asked them or required them to do. And they were truly blessed. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. You have been truly blessed. And we need to remind ourselves, remind God, that we know that we have been blessed. And we appreciate it. So with that, I'm going to close. I trust that this was a lesson that you could learn from, and that you could try to draw yourself closer to the Lord and try to be more and more, as the Apostle Paul said that we should. We should be men of God, a man of God, one who appreciates that. And again, I'm not just speaking to males. I'm speaking to those that the Lord can call his sons. So I am going to close for tonight. I trust that you can think about these things in a positive way, and I think the time that we spent together was well worth it. So good night.